It has been 2 weeks since the United States began airstrikes against the Islamic militant group ISIS in Iraq, and news about the group has continued to make headlines throughout the week.
A YouTube video emerged Tuesday of a member of ISIS beheading American journalist James Foley, and President Obama responded, saying the U.S. will be vigilant and relentless and will do what it must to protect its people.
Yesterday, Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel said the group is beyond just a terrorist group, calling it as sophisticated and well-funded as any group that we have seen.
U.S. Senator Ron Johnson also joined the national conversation. He has been holding town hall meetings around the state this week to warn Wisconsinites about what he calls a gathering storm to strike America.
Senator Johnson is a member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and he joins us now to talk about possible threats posed by ISIS. Senator Johnson, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, Veronica, hello, Cynthia. How are you doing?
Doing well. That you could be here. Now, you've been holding town hall meetings this week to warn Americans about ISIS. Now, we're a country who's lived through September 11th, through orange threats, red threats, shoe bombers. Why do we need to be on high alert all over again?
Well, to be accurate, I hold my town hall meetings primarily talking about the dangers of our fiscal mismanagement, the record deficits and accumulating debt. But, you know, Wisconsinites are very concerned about what's happening throughout the world, not only just in Iraq, but Syria and Ukraine, and certainly between Israel and Hamas. But we've been getting an awful lot of questions, and I have been, because I've been on the Foreign Relations Committee. We've held hearings on exactly what's been happening, not only in Syria, but now as we're seeing ISIS spill out of Syria into Iraq. We're really witnessing, to a certain extent, the disintegration of the state of Iraq. And this is a gathering storm. ISIS, as Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel said, these are evil people. They are barbarians. They cannot be contained. They're very well disciplined. They're very strategic. They've been very patient setting up this caliphate. And they've been very clear in terms of what their long-term aims are. It really is to utilize that caliphate, that state, as a base of operations against the West. I have no idea why they want to destroy Western culture, but that is exactly what they want to do. They were so extreme, ISIS, that they were actually kicked out of Al-Qaeda. So this is not a group that can be contained. It's a group that needs to be defeated.
This week we've been seeing stories about the number of Westerners, Americans, and British nationals who may be part of ISIS. What kinds of specific threats do you see ISIS posing to the United States right now?
Well, we had Deputy Assistant Secretary of State Brett McGurk in front of our Foreign Relations Committee on July 24th, and I asked him the specific question, what threat does ISIS represent to America? And this is basically what he described it. He said, ISIS is funneling 30 to 50 suicide bombers into Iraq per month. And what ISIS is also doing is they are recruiting jihadists from around the world. But we've already got, I think, intelligence communities have documented hundreds of jihadists into Syria with Western passports. And so the point that Mr. McGurk made was that it'd be easy for ISIS to start funneling those suicide bombers into Western countries. And actually, the week he testified, there were two Western suicide bombers, one from Australia, one from Germany, that set themselves off in Baghdad. And of course, we've already witnessed the first American bred suicide bomber, fellow from Florida, actually trained in Syria, went back to Florida, but came back and blew himself up in Syria in May. So that is exactly one of the things we have to worry about is the jihadists bringing the battle to the West, to America.
And at these town hall meetings where you're talking about these threats, how do people respond?
Well, they're highly concerned, and they need to be concerned. I've just been describing the situation as it's been relayed to us through testimony in the Foreign Relations Department. And you know, we're witnessing, because of our debt and deficit, remember former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Mike Mullen, said that the greatest threat to our national security is our debt and deficit. It makes us economically weak, and if we're economically weak, we can't be militarily strong either. And so, you know, we're witnessing enormous pressure on our budgets, including our defense budget. This is no time to be hollowing our military. We have to be very strategic in how we structure our forces. We have to recognize the asymmetric threat that terrorism represents to America. And we need to be smart about this, and we have to. The first thing we have to do is not deny reality. We have to recognize the danger, and I am concerned. You know, President Obama, when ISIS took over Fallujah back in January, his comment was, "Oh, you know, they're the JV team. Just because they're putting on a Lakers uniform doesn't make them Kobe Bryant." So that is really giving you know, not paying the type of attention, not giving the serious consideration to the threat that ISIS represents. And, you know, it's unfortunate that it took the videotaping of the beheading of an American journalist, Jim Foley, to, I guess, grab President Obama's attention enough to actually make a statement. I appreciate the fact that he's taken some action when he had to prevent the genocide of the Yazidis and help the Kurds, the Peshmerga, take back the Mosul Dam.
Well, let's talk about
that's just the minimum action that has to be taken.
I want to talk about those airstrikes because right now those airstrikes are helping to retake some of northern Iraq. But should the situation deteriorate, given the seriousness of the situation that you just described with ISIS, would you support U.S. military intervention on the ground?
Well, of course, what we should have done is exactly what we did after World War II. And after the Korean War, leave stabilizing forces behind in Iraq, and we didn't do that. When we left Iraq, we left our ability to influence the coalition government, and this never should have happened, but it's happening. We defeated Al Qaeda in Iraq once when we had 168,000 troops during that surge. When Al Qaeda in Iraq was about 68,000 troops, now ISIS is 15,000 to 17,000 troops. They're better resourced, they're better trained, they're far more effective. And so what I think President Obama needs to do is he needs to get off the golf course, get on the phone, and he needs to start assembling that coalition of a willing of Western nations as well as Arab states that are threatened directly by this gathering storm that is ISIS. And we need to assemble that coalition of the willing, and we have to have as our primary objective their defeat.
And I want to press you a little bit on that, though. Given the seriousness of the threat that you're describing and perhaps attacks on American soil, would you support troops on the ground if the situation continues to deteriorate?
As part of a coalition effort, I think that's what we're going to have to anticipate. And I think Defense Secretary Hagel is saying as much just yesterday in his statements. I think this administration is finally coming to the realization that it was a huge mistake not to leave a stabilizing force to allow ISIS to reform from Al-Qaeda in Iraq, and they have to be dealt with. They can't be contained. They have to be defeated. But again, we'll try and do it by providing resources and backup to the Kurdish Peshmerga, certainly to the Iraqi forces. But again, as was told to us in testimony, ISIS is more than double the size of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And remember, we had 168,000 American troops it took to defeat Al-Qaeda in Iraq back in 2007. So this isn't going to be some little pinprick measure. You know, air power alone is not going to defeat ISIS. And I think people are coming to the conclusion that it cannot be contained. It's going to have to be defeated. Again, I can't tell you exactly how we're going to be doing it, but we should be doing what President Obama should be doing, what President Bush did, is assemble a coalition of the willing, get the UN behind this, and recognize that the danger that ISIS represents to the entire free world.
Now, what you're saying is provocative. Right now, we're hearing that there is no one out there from the United States who has the appetite to have more on-the-ground involvement in Iraq. But you're saying with the coalition of the willing, you think it is the place of the United States to join that coalition on the ground to eradicate ISIS.
Well, we can sit back and we can wait for terrorists to strike here in America. Is that what we really want to do? I really don't. You remember, we denied, we buried our head in the sands in the 90s when Al-Qaeda declared war on us, and we didn't take out Osama bin Laden when we had the opportunity to. And we allowed the threat of Al-Qaeda to gather and finally strike America and slaughtered a couple thousand Americans when the Twin Towers came down. I mean, is it going to take another terrorist attack in America? And by the way, I would consider the beheading of an American journalist a terrorist attack on this nation.
And so given that terrorist attack on the nation that you're talking about, the situation, the possibility of strikes against America on homeland soil, are you advocating for action now? Is it possible that if we wait too late, that the chance will be lost to contain the damage?
Yes, we've already waited too late. We never should have left Iraq. We should have left a stabilizing force behind, and we are paying the consequences of that because of that strategic, historic blunder. And so let's not make another strategic, historic blunder by continuing to ignore this threat. I mean, the fact of the matter is America is already engaged in Iraq. We are bombing. We are at war with ISIS. You know, and if we don't recognize that fact, I mean, again, we're just denying reality. We already have close to 1,000 troops in Iraq right now. You know, they may not be engaged specifically firing rifles at ISIS, but my guess is they're certainly gathering intelligence. My guess is they're certainly helping to spot and direct targeting the attacks from our bombers. So we are engaged. I don't know. I'm not a military expert. I don't know to what extent we're going to have to engage. All I'm saying is our goal should be clearly articulated, and our goal should be the defeat of ISIS because they cannot be contained.
There is no plan on the table right now to eradicate ISIS. As I understand it, there is simply the airstrikes planned. Given that, what is your priority number one, do you think, for dealing with ISIS when you get back to Washington?
Well, the first thing we have to do is we have to make sure whatever part of Iraq is stabilized, we do everything we can to keep it stabilized. In other words, and I've been advocating this for really a couple of months, is we need to resource the Peshmerga, the Kurdish troops. We have to make sure that they are armed, they have adequate resources to stabilize and protect the Kurdish region. We better make sure that Jordan remains a sovereign nation, that ISIS doesn't start looking at Jordan and start destabilizing that, and we need to certainly protect all of our Americans in that region, including in Baghdad. So that's the first step. But the next step, again, is to have President Obama begin to assemble that coalition of the willing, and then, you know, exactly what the strategy will be, exactly what the force structure, whether it's going to be NATO type of structure. I believe our goal has to be the defeat of ISIS.
Senator Johnson, thank you so much for joining us.
Have a great day.
We've been speaking with U.S. Senator Ron Johnson about the militant group ISIS. He's been holding town hall meetings around the state this week to warn Wisconsinites about the possible threat from the group.